It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with the ride with Daniel Pryor today as we're recording. Pretty nice day. He drove in his, convertible BMW? Your little chariot?
Yeah.
You've had several of those through the years. We've heard about those different shows. You had an MG at one time.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's something that Jane also likes. So
that's very important. Jane, your wife.
So that worked out well.
Hey, we are talking this week about altering destructive behavior patterns, and that's kind of a big term for people who just say, the devil made me do it, or that's just the way I am.
It's in my genes.
My genes. But these are destroying our lives individually, but also destroying marriages. And you wanted to start this week with a story if something came up recently in the session.
And in fact, the reason that this this topic was something I wanted to talk about again, and by the way, if people have been listening to Sound Mind, you probably, over a period of time, you're getting the idea that they're, you know, you're kind of connecting the dots and getting the idea that, you know, we kind of talk at a deeper, more meaningful level, but it's not all that complicated that, you know, again, if you've been listening for a while, you kind of get the sense that, that there are a few themes that, and variations on those themes. So we've talked about destructive behavior patterns in terms of addiction. I want to approach it a little bit differently today because I think there are a lot of times people are in destructive behavior patterns, and maybe they wouldn't call it an addiction. They want to call it an addiction. And I did have someone had contacted me, a married person, and talking about the spouse that continuously had this pattern over the years of the marriage of kind of flirting with infidelity, no full-blown affair, but really, you know, getting as close as possible to it, you know, meeting someone, sharing intimate words.
So in person, not necessarily social media or internet.
Social media.
Social media, too. Okay.
Social media would probably, you know, primarily, and maybe that's where people think that they can, that they're getting away with it, and it's not really hurting anyone, and I've heard that in marriage counseling before, where a person will say, well, it's not about you, right. You know, it's, you know, and and then the person gets caught and then apologizes and makes an excuse and then repeats the behavior. And, you know, what they'll say is, and even sometimes what the spouse will say is, well, you know, he or she wants to change, but they're just not able to. And so we want to talk about today about, well, is that really the whole story? Are they just, you know, are there people out there that want to change and aren't able to? And so what we're going to talk about today is why is it so difficult? Mm-hmm. You know, how do destructive behaviors take over? How do they get the foothold and take over? And then why is it so hard to change unwanted behaviors? And of course, we want to wrap up with some things that we talk about a lot, which is, well, how you actually would go about changing these behaviors.
And we said, too, before we went on the air, too, this therapeutic culture we live in the last 50-100 years where moral problems, well, that part of that's a problem because morals aren't brought into it anymore. It's always a sickness. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I'm sick. I'm not sinning. I have a sickness. And it's kind of both. It's both. A sin, but it becomes a sickness. But first and foremost, it is a sin. It is moral. And you're saying, of course, when you take God out of it, then it is, everything is just a sickness.
Yeah, and then the sickness is just a lens that society looks through. And so as we've seen in the past, we were talking about the Shades of Grey book, which, by the way, for the listeners out there, neither Mark or I have read the book. But I know what it's about, and it's about a topic that we talked about sometime back when we did a series on the sadomasochism thing and just kind of the free fall of sexual freedom. But so then what happens is it's a lens that we look through for, you know, morality, just social lens that we look through, but society keeps changing. So we keep, redefining. And so first it's a moral issue.
Get away from God's standard.
First it's a moral issue. Well, then we throw that out and then it becomes just a sickness. And it's only a sickness because it gets in the way of, how society wants the rules to run. But those rules change. And then pretty soon it's not a sickness anymore. It's a normality. And now that's the new norm. And so that's what we've seen in the Shades of Gray, the whole idea of, and the sadomasochism thing becoming not only a norm, but that was a very popular book.
Well, particularly with women, and you know, what is that tapping into with women?
And of course, it always has to do with the thing that we've talked somewhat before about value, control, and power, just our basic things. That, you know, that human need of being valued, being in control, and so the masochistic, as we were talking before, the masochism thing is kind of a flip around, you know, that it begins with arousal by being controlled, but then it becomes a way of controlling
the other
as well.
Person,
yeah. And ultimately, it winds up there. So anyway, we want to talk about how do these things, not just sexual behaviors, but different
destructive behavior patterns. Well, where do people start to lose the battle?
Yeah, here's where we start. You know, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. So we start with a person that has no what I call effectual knowledge of the alternative. You know, we're talking about asking myself, why should I change? Well, if I don't see a cost out there, that is, if I don't see a I'd rather be here, I'd rather be fishing. If I don't see something out there that I'd rather be doing, then of course there's no reason to change. So there's not an effectual knowledge of an alternative. A deep narrative of failure or hopelessness that's kind of rooted in the family of origin. You know, so people, without realizing it, can have a narrative in their thinking, in their logic, that just says, "This is as good as it gets."
Mm-hmm. My dad always did this, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, interesting. A couple of scripture verses here: Hebrews 12, and also Proverbs 29:18. But Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, and that's what we're talking about, where there's no vision, no purpose, no one translation says where there's no progressive vision, the people cast off restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the other one in Hebrews is we're talking about casting aside the sin that so easily besets us, and it goes on to talk about Christ and that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so why do we make change? It's because if there's something out there, we see the alternative. So the lack of that, the lack of the knowledge and the understanding of an alternative is, you know, strike one. Strike two would be, and because of that, strike two, no passion for change, a change of which we have relative ignorance. So if we don't understand a better direction, then we're not going to have any passion for changing. Take, for example, the idea of climbing a mountain, Mount Everest, or running a marathon. How would a person get excited about that? Well, I might start looking at photographs, and then the next thing you know, I'm reading about the mountain, or I'm reading about people's experiences in marathon. So I'm kind of baptizing or saturating myself in the thoughts of actually following mm-hmm. through on that. So I'm creating a passion about something that I visualize
mm-hmm.
out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's not enough to just try hard to stop doing mm-hmm. that bad thing. You got to replace it mm-hmm. with a good thing and replace it with a good vision.
Yeah. And because of those first two, and they sort of go strike one, strike two, strike three is no plan to undergo a change for which I have no passion. So then we have the person saying, well, you know, that's just me. That's so obviously they're getting some kind of reward out of this behavior, and they lack knowledge of some alternative behavior. They lack passion for the change then, and they lack a plan. You know, here's a interesting, you know, we have the parables of the pearl of great price. So you know how this goes. The man saw a pearl of great price is a parable that Jesus told. He saw this pearl of great price, and he sold all that he had to buy this pearl. How did he know the pearl had price or value? He obviously wasn't a novice at pearls. Mm. So this is kind of what we've just talked about, you know, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. If you want to get excited about an alternative life other than your destructive, you sort of have to get to know about them. Is another example that everybody would know about, and that is the antique roadshow.
Right.
And
that's a more modern example.
When this thing started years ago, I remember seeing that it was pretty common that people were shocked by the value of the things that they had. It came as a complete surprise.
But often they have an inkling. I wonder.
And that's more and more. Now mm-hmm. you see the shows.
Yeah,
later shows.
Maybe that's, yeah.
Now the later shows, there are actually people who because of this show and becoming smarter, and they are able to walk into an antique store.
I bet that'll be worth something someday.
Yeah, and actually look at it. And no, I've got a friend who is able to walk into a pawn shop, and he'll look at watches that to me all look like junk, or he'll find one that looks like junk, and he knows that's a valuable watch,
mm-hmm.
or he'll see one that looks very valuable and know that that's a piece of junk. How do you know that? How do you know? You know that by getting familiar. So that first strike one was lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. So it's not a passive thing. We talked about hope, I think, a couple weeks ago, and how that hope is a process. It's not just something that you get osmosis. You know, you have, it's a process of learning hope. In order to change these destructive habits and destructive behavior patterns, we've got to get a vision of something higher, and we've got to be able, then we've got to involve ourselves in learning about that and kind of, you know, filling our minds with that, build a passion for it, and have a plan for actually doing that. Yeah.
Well, it requires some effort, but a different kind of effort, not just trying to not do something, but trying to replace it with good things. I think people get discouraged because they just try hard, and they use their willpower. Mm-hmm. And it's not about this. It's having a vision of God's plan for your life. Of course, that comes through God's word, maybe talking to other Christians, you know, kind of unburdening yourself. We've talked about those things. But also maybe talking to a life coach and counselor like you. That's where I would think your life coaching comes in, maybe even more than your counseling part, because you talk a lot about goal setting, just for career things that can really turn someone's life around. If people need some help with life coaching or counseling, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, and also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
More details as well at KCISRadio.com. We'll be returning with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the ride today, and this week looking at altering destructive behavior patterns. Seems like that's kind of a bigger word for that would be sanctification. That's kind of what life's about. You need some help along the way with people like Daniel, life coach and counselor. And before we get back into today's subject, you wanted to mention something about your podcast. Now, your podcasts of your show are available at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Yeah, that's correct. And if you are listening and you want to hear this show again, of course, the podcast is there. Occasionally, we'll rerun a show if there's a need for that, and we'll, you know, kind of, you know. And so those won't be posted, but if there's confusion and, you know, so somebody wants to hear that post, contact the radio station or email me, call me directly and ask a question about that. And, you know, I can get the topic and find the original date.
So people can email you there at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Yeah. And in fact, I had someone email that they, one of the links apparently was broken, so they couldn't get through on this one. So we'll get that patched
up.
Now,
are your shows listed just by date, or do they have a subject on them, too?
Both. They're by date and subject.
Well, that would help.
Yeah, they're by date and subject. And, again, if somebody is interested in a subject and can't find it on there, you know, email, or, you know, if it's something we haven't talked about, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, give some suggestions. You know, there's lots of things to talk about in this subject of keeping a sound mind. This week, though, a subject we've kind of touched on before, the idea of addictions and behavior patterns that are destructive, kind of updating that this week. And you were going to kind of review what you mean by the order or the operation.
Yeah, order of operation. and we did a previous show on that. I think it was the title of it is The Importance and Process of Achievement. And that was broadcast in March. So if someone's interested in looking more deeply into that, go to the podcast and look at the programs from March, and you'll find one there entitled The Importance and Process of Achievement. Also, I've got an article published on setting a course for change, and that's at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And
these articles are all free, all your podcasts are free.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You just go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com and go to, I think this one is probably not the current article. It's probably in the archives, but it's probably pretty high. And the name of the article is Setting a Course for Change. What it talks about is an order of operation. And the order of operation for change is, of course, it's a bit of a review here or a different way of looking at the first segment of our show today, and that is I first have to recognize the need for change. And a lot of times the thing, maybe the primary thing that suggests that there's a need for change is that my current behavior is costing me something. So if there's not a cost, if there's not a penalty for what I'm doing, if I can't see that, then I'm probably not going to be serious about change. There is a penalty, but do I realize it? And so that would be the first thing, is to really consider what is this costing.
What about
me?
The penalty? You hear about what you need is the fear of the Lord and a sense of ultimate judgment with God. Mm-hmm. How does that work to help people?
Well, so when we talk about the fear of the Lord, it's not just, you know, I get a picture of Jesus in my mind and I'm afraid of that. You know, the fear of the Lord requires some knowledge of God and the way that God works and what God expects and you know, of us. And so you can't just be totally ignorant of the nature of God and the ways of God and the provision of salvation and the expectation. You can't be totally ignorant of that and have fear. Mm-hmm. So the fear of the Lord and it's a deeper word of fear, of course. It's not just being terrified, but I think there's some of that in there. You know, I think that you know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, if I know I'm going in the wrong direction, then maybe the fear of the Lord does involve some terror. But if I'm walking with God, there's still a fear of the Lord. There's still an awe. You know, what we quoted that scripture in the beginning segment of Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people cast off restraint.
That might be a vision people need, is a fear of a vision of God's holiness.
Yeah. Paul says the law restrains us. That knowledge that God has high expectations and that he's provided for us to meet those expectations, that should have a quality of fear, and should restrain us.
So often we find, I mean, a lot of Christians, they feel like they know these things intellectually, but they're still in the mud all the time, and they can't seem to get out of it. And I think that that's where the kind of work that you do helps, because people don't realize they are repeating family problems.
Yeah.
It is sin, habitual addictive behavior it's like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much below it a lot of times, that work that people need to do.
No, those behaviors are symptoms.
Something,
Something deeper. So you have to have first of all, you have to see the cost, and that's like number one here, is you have to have a sufficient reason or motivation to change. You have to see yourself, a vision. You have to kind of see yourself in that alternative way, that better way of living, and that desired behavior. And that has to be real to you. It's got to be a vision, not in the sense that you can see a picture of it, but you actually can believe it for yourself. You know, what's the scripture say? He who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The second one would be, you have to keep that vision alive. So you've got to, this gets back to the lack of knowledge, lack of understanding we talked about in the first segment. You got to keep the vision alive. And how do we do that? You know, that's spending time with God, spending time in fellowship, surrounding yourself with people who, and saturating your life with people who are going in the same direction.
This is getting over these things very seldom in a vacuum.
No,
they have to be working at least with one person, sometimes a group of people who are maybe similar strugglers. That's where the whole 12-step thing came from, is a fellowship of people who have a similar problem and are all there to support each other and go toward God.
And also going along with that, when we've talked about this before, that these addictive patterns are the opposite of relationship. We called them destructive behavior patterns in the beginning, and they are the opposite of relationship. And so walking away from those does always require a relationship. And a lot of times, generally it's true, I would say, that people get caught up in these self-egocentric behaviors that are destructive to relationships and destructive to our relationship with God, because of withdrawing from relationships, and again, as we've said before, these are fear and shame based. That's another thing that people probably it doesn't feel intuitive. It's initially when they hear that these behaviors are based in fear and shame, and so it's not so much, you know, shame as we've talked about before isn't initially something I'm ashamed because of something I did, but rather I do shameful things because I'm ashamed to begin with. That internalized message of lack of worth, and we live down to that message. Going along with what you were saying earlier, that, you know, suggesting that the behaviors are a symptom of something lying deeper. And then we have to have a specific plan of attack. And these would be things actually that you could actually probably write out. There was a great book. I think the name of the book was Ordering Your Private World. I think it was by a man named McDonald. And Gordon McDonald, and Ordering Your Private World. What I liked about that book was at the end of every chapter, there was a short little memo, and the memo started off, if my life becomes organized, it will be because I, and it would have this simple thing you would do. And I thought, it's almost worth the price of the book to cut out the memos, because life,
Ordering your private world.
Ordering your private world.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to have a plan of attack. You have to have specific things that you're going to do. This is how I'm going to bring bring this change apart. So those three things: you got to have sufficient motive for change. You got to keep that vision alive. You've got to have a plan of attack. And as I said earlier, you have to surround yourself, fill your life with people who are going that same direction. And that's why I think church body is so so important. You are who you are in relationships. And so the church body experience, deeper family relationship experience. So a lot of people, when people come to me and they want counseling for addiction, before very long we're talking about what are you doing with your relationships, because the walk away from addictions is a walk toward relationships. And then, as I said before, and we've talked about personality disorders and things, that a lot of times it's a general rule that people are in these patterns because they're not in relationships, and they're not in relationships because they're in these patterns. Kind of a
well, what I think a lot of times happens, and particularly maybe more with men, is this ability to compartmentalize, just strong compartments. They may have what they think is a good relationship box. They have a good wife box. They have a good church life box, you know, or religious activity box, and then they have their secret behavior box. And it's like they're so, I mean,
and there's not really growth going on there. People get to what they think is a kind of a status quo, or things, they've got things kind of leveled off and organized. But as we've talked about before, your life never really levels off. Your world is either getting larger or smaller. You're either growing or you're losing ground. And so, yeah, we get this, we compartmentalize things, and maybe it's not so much man versus women as woman as it is masculine versus feminine. Of course, it kind of boils out to masculine is usually men. But, yeah, we get these things compartmentalized out, and we kind of get to a place where we feel like we're that's our homeostasis. We've got it figured out, if we can just, you know, everybody cooperating that. And so now we get back to the story that we told in the beginning, where the spouse had been drawn into this narrative that, well,
what
you
should
know,
the spouse have done there? Instead of saying, and just innate, what we said, the word enabling, just say, okay, well, I guess that is just the way. What does she have to do?
She or he has to realize that no change is possible. Change is necessary. I mean, change
and
is the name.
We kick you
of the...
out until you change, or
well, this is what I do. It's not always that, but I do tell. And it's generally wives, but I do tell the person, you can't negotiate from a position of weakness. So, you know, how is the important is the change for you? And so part of that person's stuckness in that behavior is they don't see the cost. And so at some point they have to see a cost.
Right.
You know, the old saying, when I feel the heat, I see the light.
Right.
So they've got to see a cost. And part of that cost is a spouse standing up to them and saying, okay, I'm drawing the line. You know, what did Paul do in the church situation, you know, where he came across the incestuous thing, and he said, kick them out,
for
the destruction of the flesh, so that
hopefully they'll turn around.
And the guy did turn around later on, but so tough love.
Whether that's in a, you know, thankfully you still have a marriage where somebody cares enough to stand up and tell you so, or if you're a single person, hopefully you're in a church where people would tell you, you know, you need to get some help. So Very important to change destructive behavior patterns in our life. And if you're listening to this today and this sounds like something you need some help with, or maybe you know somebody who's really stuck in some behavior pattern, you want to have maybe Daniel help, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Call me at 425-778-6169. That's 778-6169. And also, people email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
All right. Yeah. Always great stuff with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.